Need I say it again? Donald Trump has been branded a shocking and shameful racist after it was credibly reported that he had described African nations, as well as Haiti and El Salvador, in language that is vile and brings disgrace on the high office he occupies. Can any good come out of such nations? Clearly, Donald Trump thinks not. Nathaniel, sitting under a fig tree, asks a similar question. Can any good come out of Nazareth? Jesus has set about gathering together a group of disciples, and those first called typically reach out to families and friends. So it was that Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Initially, Nathanael is skeptical that any Messiah would ever come from Nazareth, but nonetheless accepts Philip's invitation to find out. Jesus immediately characterizes him as an Israelite in whom there is no guile or deceit. And that enigmatic observation, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." There are so many questions which could be asked of this episode. What was wrong with Nazareth? What was the significance of Nathanael sitting under a fig tree? And why should Nathanael so quickly change his mind about this person from Nazareth? What are we to understand by that reference to someone, in this case Nathanael, seeing angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man? Finally, what does all this have to say to us? Let's walk through this episode and nail some of those questions. The reason Nathanael wonders if any good can come from Nazareth is because Nazareth is a non-place. Outside the New Testament, there's no mention of such a town until the writings of Jewish rabbis nearly 300 years later. It's a place of absolute obscurity. If Jesus was supposed to be the Messiah, if he was to have any credibility, God would surely choose a more promising place, such as Bethlehem, which at least could boast King David as its patron. Philip doesn't defend Jesus or his claims. He merely says, "Come and see." He disarms Nathanael's defenses, and Nathanael's curiosity gets the better of him. As they approach Jesus, we hear that mysterious comment, "Look, an Israelite without deceit." Jesus recognizes in Nathanael a man who is straightforward, honest, and genuine. Jesus knows him because he has already seen him under the fig tree. It's not that Nathanael spends his day under a tree because he is a wastrel, a social dropout, dependent on handouts from the like of Philip, but because under the trees was the very place that the great teachers gathered their students to study both the scriptures and the law. Nathanael knows his Hebrew scriptures, knows the way of the Lord, and wants to know more. When Jesus refers to him as someone without deceit, without guile, he is simply acknowledging that Nathanael is sufficiently open-minded that he's willing to leave his teachers under those trees and investigate this so-called Messiah. Jesus knows that God's Spirit has drawn Nathanael to him and will prompt him to make an audacious confession of his faith in Jesus. Nathanael is overwhelmed. He confesses that Jesus is the unique teacher of Israel, the rabbi, God's own son, Israel's promised king. Unexpectedly and abruptly, Nathanael sees his life and indeed the world about him in terms of this person, Jesus. Jesus tells Nathanael that he will see even greater things. The heavens will be open and the angels will ascend and descend on the Son of Man. Here, Jesus is referring to the Old Testament story of Jacob. That same Jacob who cheated his brother Esau and absconded his family for fear of his life. That first night, Jacob beds down in the wilderness and in his sleep sees the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on a ladder that reaches to the very gates of heaven. God speaks to him and says that he will make good his promises and create from him a great nation that will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. On waking from his dream, Jacob declares, "This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And he names the place Bethel, a Hebrew word meaning the house of God. Jacob had encountered an open heaven, which in Celtic spirituality is called a thin place. In recent years, Celtic spirituality has rekindled an interest in these thin places. One place with which Celtic spirituality is particularly associated is the Scottish island of Iona, where there is an ecumenical Christian community established by George MacLeod just before the Second World War. MacLeod spoke of Iona as a thin place where only tissue paper separates the material from the spiritual. His is a helpful description. Thin places are where the distance between heaven and earth collapses and can be so impressionable that, as one person put it, places that beguile and inspire, sedate and stir. Places where, for a few blissful moments, I loosen my death grip on life and can breathe again. Thin places can be well-known holy sites, as the Isle of Iona, or ordinary places, such as Jacob's Bethel or Paul's dusty road to Damascus. In fact, as with both Jacob and Paul, thin places are more likely to find you. Unexpected encounters with the holy in times of crisis. Jacob running away from home. Saul on his way to persecute the church. Thin places are places of epiphany, an instance of sudden, momentous realization or revelation when what is normally a reliable distinction